This week, Facebook suspends tens of thousands of apps from hundreds of developers. A privilege escalation flaw has been found in the Forcepoint VPN client for Windows. WannaCry and why it just never went away. Zero Patch promises support for Windows 7 beyond January 2020. And how the FBI arrests more than 200 hackers in a lot of different countries. In the expert commentary, we welcome Grant Sewell, the director of IT security at SafeLight Autoglass, talk about risk-based security and identity controls and the use of Preempt security platform. All that and more on this episode of Hack Naked News. This is Security Weekly, for security professionals by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News. Let the team at Black Hills Information Security test your defenses. With over 10 years of experience in penetration testing, red teaming, and threat hunting, the testers at Black Hills will help you find the holes in your security before the bad guys do. The team at Black Hills cares about educating and sharing their knowledge by creating countless blogs, open source tools, and webcasts for you to learn more about the tradecraft of pen testing and red teaming. Visit securityweekly.com/BHIS to join their mailing list and view the latest blogs and webcasts from Black Hills Information Security. Too many alerts and not enough action? It's time to get SaltStack. SaltStack is an intelligent IT automation platform that detects security issues in critical business systems and then actually fixes them. With SaltStack, security and IT teams work together to define custom security policies with certified checks for CIS, DISA STIGs, and more. You can scan systems for millions of compliance checks in minutes. Remediate compliance and vulnerability issues with powerful automation, all in a single platform. Visit securityweekly.com/saltstack to learn more. Welcome everyone to Hack Naked News, episode number 235 for September 24th, 2019. I'm of course your host, Paul Asadorian. With exciting news about the Security Weekly webcast program, we're partnered with ISC Squared as an official CPE provider. If you attend any of our webcasts, you'll be receiving one CPE credit per webcast. Register for upcoming webcasts with ExtraHop, SaltStack, and more at Security Weekly and ServiceNow and Core Security. All kinds of webcasts coming up. SecurityWeekly.com/webcast. If you've missed any of our previously recorded webcasts, you can find them on demand at securityweekly.com/on demand. You still need to register and you still get one CPE credit per webcast. No more. One per webcast. And now, the security news for this week. Facebook suspends tens of thousands of apps from hundreds of developers. A major cleanup of Facebook apps obviously has been done, which seems to be a growing trend for major providers as they control access to their APIs and essentially make programmers' lives miserable, like myself. In any case, of course, after the Cambridge Analytica privacy scandal in 2018, the social network giant launched a review of privacy practices. Facebook's review of all the apps on the platform aimed at determining alleged abuse of user data and violation of its privacy rules. Now, Facebook announced that the suspensions of tens of thousands of apps has occurred. According to the vice president of partnerships at Facebook, the suspensions are, and I quote, not necessarily an indication that these apps were posing a threat to people. They also added that some did not respond for their request for information, which means if you didn't check your email or went to spam, Facebook yanked your app. So make sure you look for that, I guess, and don't be shady and steal people's information, or your Facebook app is no longer going to be on the Facebook platform. A privilege escalation flaw has been found in the Forcepoint VPN for Windows. Safe Breach Labs discovered a privilege escalation vulnerability tracked to CVE-2019-6145 that affects all versions of the VPN client for Windows except for the latest and greatest release. The vulnerability can be exploited by attackers to achieve persistence and evade detection. Experts discovered that the application incorrectly attempts to execute an executable from incorrect locations. That makes any sense, allowing an attacker to run its own binaries with NT authority/system permissions, and patches are now available. WannaCry and why it never went away and is still making people cry, potentially. WannaCry, of course, spreads by the SMB security hole that was patched 2 months before the worm first appeared. So you'd be forgiven for assuming that it would have fizzled out by now and become a little more than a museum curiosity, according to the article. But the paper published recently by Sophos Experts tells a very different story, with more than 5 million infection attempts logged in a 3-month period last year. That's just the ones that were detected and blocked by a Sophos product and reported to the Sophos telemetry system. Given that WannaCry doesn't even bother trying to infect a computer if it can see in advance that it's patched, each one of these infection attempts was aimed at still an unpatched device. Just for reference, Microsoft patched the associated vulnerability for WannaCry on Tuesday, March 14th, 2017, via security bulletin MS-17-010. Wyoming's hospital services have been disrupted by ransomware, and in an ongoing trend, ransomware is continuing to disrupt services, specifically here in the U.S., including hospitals. In this case, Campbell County Health contacted the appropriate authorities immediately after discovering the attack, which is kind of hard not to notice since you can't log into a lot of your systems because they've been ransomwared. But the investigation into the matter is continuing. As of Sunday, the impact was emergency medical services, the emergency department, the maternal child department, and the walk-in clinic were open, but the hospital continues to advise patients to call in advance to confirm their appointments. On Sunday, the hospital still had canceled or rescheduled services, including surgery, respiratory therapy, and a host of other services, showing that ransomware really can impact services here in the U.S. Zero Patch promises support for Windows 7 beyond the January 2020 deadline. Microsoft will still provide support for some customers through the Extended Security Updates program, but the majority of systems still running Windows 7 or Windows Server 2008 will no longer receive security updates, thus potentially remaining exposed to attacks exploiting newly discovered vulnerabilities. Akros Security, a Slovenia-based company focused on delivering fixes for vulnerabilities in popular software before official patches arrive, says it will support both Windows 7 and Windows 2008 even after Microsoft will stop doing so. And I quote, they say, we're going to security adapt Windows 7 and Windows 2008 server for those of you who would like to keep them patched after their official security updates have dried out, says officials at Akros Security. The company's micro patching service called Zero Patch is offered for both free and paid forms for as much as you want to or not trust that service. 9 words to ruin your Monday, emergency Internet Explorer patches amid in-the-wild attacks. I'm not sure if it ruined your Monday, but certainly something you might want to pay attention to if you still have Internet Explorer deployed on your systems. A scripting engine memory corruption bug designated as CVE-2019-1367 can be abused by a malicious webpage or email to achieve remote code execution, meaning the exploit is executed if the user views a malicious website or an email message that uses Internet Explorer to render said website. Discovery of the flaw and its reported exploitation in the wild was attributed to the Google Threat Analysis Group. Vulnerability is present in at least Internet Explorer versions 9 through 11. Jira development and ticketing software is hit by two critical flaws. By exploiting the critical URL path traversal flaw in CVE-2019-14994, an attacker with access to the portal cloud could bypass restrictions, viewing issues, and making requests related to Jira's service desk, desk projects, Jira core projects, and Jira software projects. Independent research by Tenable has found 25,000 portals that are vulnerable to this issue. The other critical flaw is CVE-2019-15001, described as an authenticated template injection vulnerability in the Jira Importers plugin, through which an attacker could execute code on vulnerable servers running a vulnerable version of Jira Server or Jira Data Center, which is limited to users with admin access in order to exploit the issue. The FBI arrests more than 200 hackers in hundreds of different countries. A few months ago, FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center disclosed that the attempted email fraud, a practice known as business email compromise, has increased 100% over the past year, as well as economic losses arising from this activity. Through Operation Rewired, authorities managed to arrest a total of 281 suspects. 167 of these arrests occurred in Nigeria. So I'm sorry, I don't have the exact number of countries. It was obscured somewhere in the article, but which for years, of course, has been the hub for said campaigns. In addition, 74 of the arrests occurred in the U.S., 18 in Turkey, in other countries across the globe. Microsoft Defender has a bug which forced Microsoft to issue an emergency patch to address a previously unknown exploited denial of service vulnerability in Microsoft Defender with the CVE of 2019-1255 was issued and describes a vulnerability discovered by researchers from F-Secure, Countercept, and Tencent Security Zhanwu Labs. The vulnerability exists in Microsoft Defender file handling operations. An attacker could exploit this to prevent legitimate accounts from executing legitimate system binaries, according to Microsoft. To exploit this denial of service vulnerability, an attacker would, of course, require code execution on the target system. This week's patch, of course, alters the way Microsoft Defender handles files. That's pretty much all we know about that. We'll take a short break and come back with expert commentary from Grant Sewell. Stay tuned. Make sure your team is prepared to fight off the latest cybersecurity threat. IT Pro TV is the resource to keep you and your IT team skills up to date. You can stream IT Pro TV courses live and on demand, so there's no need to send staff to offsite training. Team subscriptions include Pro Portal, so managers have full control over your team's training schedule. Go to itpro.tv/hack-naked and use the code HN30 to try it free for 7 days and receive 30% off your monthly membership. The question is simple. Have any of the systems on my network been compromised? The answer is harder than it should be. Enter AI Hunter. Active Countermeasures has automated and streamlined techniques used by the best pen testers and threat hunters in the industry to create AI Hunter, a network threat hunting solution that does the first pass of a hunt for you to identify systems that are most likely to be compromised and scores the results on a scale from 0 to 100. You can then research those systems in depth with AI Hunter. Focus your valuable time on the systems that need your expertise with AI Hunter. Sign up for a personal demo today at securityweekly.com/ACM. Welcome back, everyone, to Hack Naked News. We now welcome Grant Sewell, the director of IT security at SafeLight Autoglass, talk about risk-based security and identity controls and the use of Preempt security platform. Grant, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for having me.
Yes, nice to have you here today. Grant, first I want to start maybe by having you describe some of the challenges with respects to identity and risk-based security controls at retailers.
Yeah, I think it's something that retailers struggle with all the time, right? We want to have a good balance of customer experience along with a good security on top of that. And so I think as we look at a risk-based tools, behavioral analysis, that's what retailers are looking at today, because that's giving them the balance of delivering that good customer experience that ensures that you're making sales and that everybody's enjoying the products that you're selling, but also making sure that you actually know what's going on. You have the visibility in the environment that you need to have a secure and trusted customer experience as well.
Yeah, that's super important in a retail environment. I mean, it frightens me when I look at retailers, and props to you for applying security in that environment where essentially you've got lots of locations with lots of users and like not a whole lot of control, because you're reaching out and touching hundreds of stores is difficult in a security context. True.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I think that's as we look at it from a retail perspective, obviously you're kind of in the middle. You're a regulated environment. You've got payment information. You've got SOX compliance. There's so many things to do, but you're by far not a government. You're not the bank. And so it's finding that balance in between about what you can be doing and all those controls, and sure to make sure that, everybody can still get business done. That's where the balance. My team would tell you, if you ask them, that they have two tenants, and it's about getting visibility and keeping score. So their goal is to just know when something bad is happening. Yes, stop it. But also measure the effectiveness of those tools and the people that are in the environment.
Yeah, and that's challenging in a retail environment because when I've done some consulting in that particular arena, anytime you talk about, well, you can just deploy this appliance to all of these different locations and you'll be good. And then they go to the next security vendor and they're like, oh, you can just deploy our appliance and deploy this other thing. And you're like, hold on, wait a minute. Every time I deploy something, I have to multiply it times however many stores I have, right? In your case, you may have people working remotely out of the vehicles, right? If I understand the business model, is that correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the unique thing that we have. Especially when we look at identity, is our techs could be working anywhere when it comes to their day-to-day job. They don't know exactly, they could be in one city today and another tomorrow. And so not having that physical presence, it's not like we can build a perimeter and say, this is what we're protecting right now. It becomes so critical for us to know exactly who is doing what and how they're using the system to identify those types of threats. Mm.
And that's important. And I suppose that's what led you to Preempt, correct?
Yeah, I think Preempt as much as it is there to stop threats. I think that's one of the nice things that as we look at the product, it's great to actually enable that better customer experience, especially for our employees and for our folks that in the end of the day, our techs are out there to go and complete a job and create some unexpected happiness in our customers' lives. And in order to do that, they're not worried about how they need to log in or different ways. And implementing something like Preempt to make a better decision about whether or not we prompt somebody for multi-factor authentication or how long a password should be or whether or not we should allow them to access, maybe their mail while they're trying to log in from a specific location. If we can make that experience smoother so that people can do their real jobs and our security team can do what they are supposed to do and monitor exactly what's going on, That's our goal, and that's really what's enabled by the product.
Yeah, you don't often hear user experience talked about in the way you talk about with a security product, right? Was that one of the requirements going into it?
Absolutely. I think user first security is our number one priority. That customer experience, and in fact, the way that we've kind of shaped security within SafeLight is we report up through our customer experience organization. Which is great, being able to partner with our marketing organization and our brand, as well as our technology partners, and the folks that are interacting with our customers so much, that's important. And we want to make sure that the experience is seamless for security end to end. And if I can do that, I'm not saying we don't stop people, right? In the end of the day, there are, there could be threats that need to actually enforce something. If we do that, at least I've got the data to back it up, say, hey, I had a really high confidence risk score, an event that caused us to do this. And usually somebody's going to thank you for doing that because it probably was something bad. And if there's a false positive, we can tune that too. So that's the way we look at things.
Can you give some examples where it helped you discover something that required more attention in kind of somewhat pseudo-anonymous terms, perhaps?
Yeah, I think pseudo-anonymous. I think one of the things we see quite frequently is the impossible travel alerts, right? Somebody's logging in over a VPN, but they connected. I think being able to associate, when we look at risk scoring, we actually, it's not just users, but it's also the computers they're using. So if I know that it's somebody who normally is they're accessing this specific application, maybe email, a sales app, anything like that, and they're actually diving in, and I know that it's a device that I've seen before, and maybe they don't normally log in at 9 p.m., but if they're not moving data around, then I'm going to go ahead and let them log in. But the second they try to maybe copy something to box.com, then yeah, I'll go ahead and prompt for MFA to make sure it is that person. But it's those types of experiences that we can create now to make sure that people don't have to have that bad experience. And that's a real example, right? In the end of the day, I don't need MFA for every single time I log in. If I can make that a little bit easier and people are happier with IT, I'll take that on a day-to-day basis, but only, enhance the controls when I absolutely need to.
Now, it says here in the notes that it's important that security controls be available in the cloud for retailers. Did this tie into your kind of cloud rollout and deployment that supports your business organization?
Yeah, I think, if you think about traditional IT and admin access, the nice thing about leveraging something like Preempt, which, having a strong identity program is good, with a federated identity, single sign-on, strong identity controls, and Active Directory, I think if you look at it from that perspective and everything's really well federated, a tool like this really helps you be able to do things and insert things like multi-factor authentication for admins that are logging in to do privileged access activities. Those are things that you can't do traditionally without multiple different tools. With something like this that kind of shims in between, that really lets you take that a risk-based approach, but also do things like prompt for admin access logging into a Windows box in the middle of the night, but maybe not during office hours because you normally do that and that's your day-to-day job. That balance has been super helpful. And as you move to the cloud, we can do those same things and inject those additional security controls, alerts or tickets or integrations with things like ServiceNow, but then also being able to do the multi-factor authentication with multiple different product partners, with Salesforce or with Box or with AWS. Those are great to be able to just do that in a single console and know exactly what the rules are that I want to have for my security program and have that in one single centralized place.
That's really awesome. It really speaks to some of the things we've been talking about here on the show, where you've got a number of different applications. Those could be ones that you bought off the shelf, that you subscribe to in a SaaS provider, some that you've built yourself, and you may have pieces and components of all of those. Some might be on-premise, some might be in a user workstation, some may be up in the cloud, some may be a SaaS, but you still have that identity component that has to appeal to all of it. And it sounds like that Preempt became that security product that helped you control the identity across however your applications are distributed and deployed.
Yeah, you're spot on. And no matter what, I mean, companies can certainly be cloud first, but there's always going to be the SaaS products, the things you built yourself, the stuff that's on premise. Being able to federate all of that is the key to a security program nowadays, and have that single view of identity. Being able to take a better risk-based approach to create a better user experience too, that makes life all that much better at the same time.
That's fantastic. And Grant, you're at a conference today, is that correct? I think that's the reason why your video might have been frozen during the interview. Yeah. I was kind of afraid to have you mess with it, but you're at a security conference, is that true?
Yeah. It's the Retail and Hospitality ISAC. So the Information Sharing Denial Center that supports retailers, hospitality, and consumer products companies. We've got our annual summits going on right now. I sit on the board of directors there. So that's it definitely speaks to, that everybody's running into that. Retailers especially, they're looking for better controls, for better experience. And this is a great way, for everybody to kind of come together, share those common threats. And we know that, we're stronger together. So it's great to see all the collaboration we have out here this week.
Yeah, ISACs are a great way to come together in different industry verticals and share ideas and information that are certainly pertinent to those working in that industry, such as retail.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. You can find out more about Preempt by going to securityweekly.com/preempt. Find out more information and view all of the content that we've created together with Preempt. Grant, anything we missed? Any closing thoughts?
No, it's fantastic. I think we covered everything. And again, I think it just speaks to having that strong identity program is really just the core to every security program. Every practitioner knows that already. But as much as we can do to build a better user experience, that's the icing on the cake.
Fantastic. Grant, thank you so much for appearing on Hack Naked News.
Thanks, Paul.
With that will conclude the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. See you next time.